Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, I guess I want to ask you first. The governor went over there to Afghanistan, sat in a tank, much like Mike Dukakis did. I'm wondering, is this a good thing for politicians to be doing?
Well, let me say this, that all my life, I have been both an inductive and a deductive learner. That means that in sort of the Aristotelian sense, that you have to perceive the world that you're in and to listen, to observe, use all your senses. And that's a requirement to learning. So being on the ground, I think, is vitally important to knowing. But it takes more than that. It takes experience, and then it takes what Socrates talked about is the integration of experience, you know, and that is the reflection based on the framework of your knowledge. What did you learn by listening? What did you learn by observing? And how does that fit into the overall framework of knowledge that you have? So, you know, when it was said that this whole dust up about President Obama, should he go to the border in Texas rather than or in addition to doing the fundraiser that he did? Well, for me, if it were me, I absolutely would have went to the border because since I was a young boy, whether I was leading the basketball team as the co-captain, as the point guard, or when I was an infantry commander, I valued the input of my soldiers. What they said they were doing, I mean, they were executing our orders. So it mattered to me what they thought. So were it me, I would have went. And because I would have done two things. I would have listened because some of the work they're doing down there is really hard. It's a tragic situation on the border with the children there. We could have learned by listening to those that are actually doing this hard mission. And the second thing is to thank them. To thank them for the work they're doing. So, you know, when you see a governor or when you see a representative go overseas on these trips, I would expect that there are two major goals. One is to learn, and the second is to express gratitude, to thank them for what they're doing.
How's your campaign, a vigorous campaign for Congress again? You've announced that you've put a term limit on yourself for 8 years, is that right?
I've said the most I'll serve is 8 years,
eight
and
years.
I'm a firm believer in that. It's okay. You go back to the founding. And we actually had term limits in the Articles of Confederation, but when we moved to the Constitution, we took a more narrow approach. Didn't mean that they opposed term limits. They just chose to keep the Constitution very narrow. You'll remember that even the Bill of Rights wasn't in the Constitution. It was the first
That's
ten amendments.
6,000 words.
Yeah, but I'm a big believer in the term limits, so I have self-imposed them. I've also co-sponsored legislation that would enact it, but you can imagine how unpopular that is.
Oh, sure, that's great.
I'm one of 10, but the campaign's going very well. I feel a very warm support. You may have noticed in the Siena poll, the independent poll, done with Time Warner Cable, that it had me up 24 points. Now, of course, the only poll that matters is the one on Election Day, but I think what that poll reflected is the strong support across the spectrum, Republicans, independents, Democrats, fair number of Democrats, that recognize that in a very difficult period, I'm working hard to bring people together to get things done, like the Farm Bill, like important legislation on Lyme, like getting the first budget agreement that helped replace sequester, so important to our domestic and national security priorities, and like the Infrastructure Bill, and like the Violence Against Women Act. All of these things, the Water Bill, the Sandy Aid Bill, I played a constructive role in bringing people together. I'm a leader in this organization called No Labels. This is about 90 members, Republicans and Democrats, evenly split in both the House and the Senate, and we're looking to bring functionality back to the Congress. No one has to check their principles at the door. You certainly can keep all your principles, but what's important is that we get our mission done. And that's why I want to see more veterans in Congress, regardless of party, because veterans bring a service orientation and a mission focus to the job.
Are you finding that you're annoyed by your opponent at all? Do they say things about you you don't like?
Well, look, it's a democratic process, and you know, you're always going to have someone out there saying things. In this case, my opponent moved into our district after the last election, 26 years of age, with very little experience and absolutely no ties to the district, but thinking that he could buy the seat because he and his husband, they do have, I guess, close to $1 billion. But I think he's finding that really his message is ringing hollow because the attacks that he's rendered upon me have been false. And it opens him up to charges of hypocrisy. When he talks about campaign finance, he's taking money from CEOs, CFOs, and COOs. He says he's not taking corporate money. He's getting money from the very top, the corporate leadership. And, you know, he started a super PAC. And when I offered him, I said, look, we can lead by example. Let's limit how much we spend and reject all outside spending. Well, he rejected my offer. So we had a chance to lead the nation and to be a good role model in campaign financing, and he chose not to. And then on fracking, he says I'm supporting fracking. You look at my vote. I had one vote in the Congress, and I voted to protect our water and our air, and I was one of two Republicans that voted for that. I'm the Republican author, along with Deanna DeGette, who's the lead author, of the Frack Act. The Frack Act requires disclosure of chemicals in compliance with the Safe Water Drinking Act. The two actions that I have done in the Congress ensure we protect water and air. And what about my opponent? Well, he's making record profits. He's invested. He's part owner of the major companies that do fracking. Not only that, he's part owner of the banks that finance the fracking. And he's part owner of the companies that move the fracked oil and gas. So in every case, he supports the full model. So here he is saying he's opposed to fracking, but that's not what his money says. His actions show he supports fracking. He says that a third party makes the decisions, but you know what? A third party doesn't get the profits. He gets the profits. So the real question for Sean Eldridge is, if he's saying that fracking is bad for us, then why is it okay to profit from it?
I noticed that you were endorsed, Chris Gibson, by the New York State Teachers Union. This is not a group that usually goes around endorsing that many Republicans. I'm sort of wondering, what do you make of that?
Well, I appreciate their support. Of course, teachers are special. Everyone's got a story. I mean, teachers made a huge impact on my life. I'm a lifelong learner because of the inspiration I got from my teachers. Product of public schools myself. Our kids go to Ichabod Crane, the same school district that I went through. And I believe that fundamentally teachers are special because they know they're never going to be rich, but they get to be rich at heart by inspiring, inculcating, and educating, and they need our support. So I have been supportive of legislation that rolls back the unfunded mandates, that properly resources schools, and that is empathetic with the state of teachers. What they don't need is these accusations and to be treated like they are the problem. What we really need to do is recognize we have some fundamental challenges that we need to work together to address. So I'm the author, for example, of a bill, a bipartisan bill supported by NYSIT, in fact, one of their top priorities, that rolls back the onerous testing regime back to pre-No Child Left Behind. And this is really important. It's a significant reduction in testing requirement, and it allows for more time teaching, which is so important. I support actions that help our teachers, parents, and students. I'm honored to have NYSIT's endorsement, and I'll continue to work hard for them going forward.
Chris Gibson, I got 2 minutes, but I want you to talk about where we are in immigration. Are we going forward at all?
I think we're going to get it done. It has to get done. I think, tragically, the actions, what happened on the border, I think that will be an impetus, that ultimately we need to at once secure our borders, be a country that can enforce our laws, but we also need to change the laws because the system is broken. We don't meet the labor market's demands. We have a demand for labor, and we're not able to meet it. And so now we have undocumented folks that are working really hard in those jobs. So, you know, in my view, we need to be able to enforce. There has to be efficacy with the new law, and that includes the E-Verify. That includes changing the naturalization process to make it simpler. And it means one law, but maybe enforced by multiple levels, just like we do with other things, a federalism concept. But at the end of the day, once you get a system that secures our borders and has the ability to be implemented, then you're left with dealing with the 11 million people who are here. You're not going to send them back. And so what you have to do is have a way that you can reconcile the fact that we are at once a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. And what I believe is reasonable is to allow individuals to come forward and to plead. They can plead guilty. It would be a misdemeanor. But then they would pay a fine tantamount to any back taxes that they may owe. They would go through a background check to make sure that we're not giving legal status to somebody in a gang or a drug dealer. And some say learn English. And at the end of the day, if they come forward and plead guilty and take those actions, they would be given legal status. I've talked to leaders in the immigrant community, and they think that that's fair. It is a way to reconcile the being a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants, and it would strengthen our entire economy and our country going forward.
Wonderful to talk to Chris Gibson, Republican from New York's 19th District. Chris, you've been a great friend to keep coming back and talking to us, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. God bless all the listeners out there.